Support for Native American Public Telecommunications comes from the Ford Foundation, on the web at fordfound.org.
This is Zach Oliva, a production assistant from NAPT in Lincoln, Nebraska. The following is a conversation with Benny Klein, a Native filmmaker from Austin, Texas. First of all, Benny, congratulations on your film being accepted into the South by Southwest Film Festival.
Thank you.
Are you excited? I was wondering if you could share some details about the festival.
It's a festival that's been growing a lot in the last 10 years, and it's really gone international in scope within those 10 years. And also, the festival holds a good place in my heart because I live here in Austin, Texas, and South by Southwest takes place here in Austin. And if anybody who's a filmmaker is familiar with the Austin film community, it's a really tight-knit community. And I went to film school at the University of Texas, which is, you know, very much recognized by the film community here. And so there's a lot of people that are filmmakers here in Austin that are familiar with my work, and they really have embraced the stuff that I do. And so I'm really excited about the premiere, not just because, you know, I will get to show my work, but I will get to show my work to other filmmakers that I consider peers here in Austin. And so, you know, the festival itself just holds a special place in my heart. And it's also a festival that I think they show something like around 300 films every year, and it's growing, and it's getting more and more competitive every year. And so I feel really good to be, you know, a part of it this year.
Do you have a specific event that got you interested in broadcasting?
I think it was back in 94. I took a summer internship position at the KGHR, a small 100-watt radio station in my hometown of Tuba City. And, you know, it was a summer internship position that came along because the previous year it was my first year in college. And I had never known that I wanted to go into broadcasting or filmmaking, but I'm not very good at math and I'm not very good at science. And so, you know, but I knew for some reason, I knew communications was just a good fit for me, you know, and I made that decision, you know, just because I wasn't good at math or science. And so I was like, oh, communications, this seems like a good fit for the time being. And so I kind of just selected that major, the communications major, based on that. And so that summer, I was able to find an internship position at KGHR in Tuba City, and I really liked it. And then towards the end of summer, I think I discovered that, you know, radio was what I wanted to do at the time. And the program director position became open. And I applied for it, not thinking I was going to get it, but I got it. And so I then decided to hold off on school and see where the radio thing would take me. And so I worked there for a couple of years, and then a couple of years later, a position became open at KTNN, the big Navajo Nation radio station in Winter Rock, Arizona. And there was an opening for a bilingual broadcast journalist, and so I took that, and I ended up doing 3 newscasts a day in Navajo from there, and I did that for about 3 years. And so, yeah, it was just kind of a combination of being in the right place at the right time, you know, and then after that, it was just hard work.
How was the transition from radio to film for you? Was that difficult at all?
It felt natural because I actually came across the idea for my first film, The Return of Navajo Boy, which I co-produced. I didn't direct that. It was directed by Jeff Spitz, a filmmaker from Chicago. And he, while I was doing my news beat at KTNN, I was assigned a story about this filmmaker who had found this old film and was returning it to this family in Monument Valley. And so I went to the big gala event where they were, you know, screening the old film at the Navajo Nation Museum. And I happened to do an interview with the filmmaker, Jeff Spitz, and then I did an interview with Elsie May Clive Gay, who is the main character in the film. And at that time, I was doing newscasts in English and Navajo for KTNN, so I did my interview with Elsie May in Navajo. And so months later, the director, Jeff, had all this documentary footage where he had asked Elsie. He would ask Elsie a question, and then he would get her answer in English, and he would then get her answer in Navajo. You know, and you know, all the credit goes to him for having the foresight to do that. But he didn't have anyone to translate a lot of the Navajo, and so he remembered that I had done these interviews for the radio in Navajo, and he contacted me, I think it was a couple of years later, and asked if I was available to do some translation. And so I ended up doing them for him, and then as time went along, he began to call on me more and more often to get my advice on things, you know, because he was an outsider, and he wanted a point of view from within. And as time went along, I just got more and more and more involved. And then it got to a point where eventually he was like, how would you like to co-produce this thing with me? And I was like, I would love to. And so I started working with him. And at that point, I was back in school full-time and not working in radio anymore. But a lot of what I was doing was translating, which is what I was doing at the radio station anyways. And so, you know, for that reason, that transition was very fluid for me. And then that's when I discovered that, you know, maybe I want to do this film thing. So I enrolled in film school at the University of Texas at Austin. They have a really good program. But I think, you know, more so than it being a fluid transition, I think that my radio broadcast journalism training really helped me be a better filmmaker, because in radio, I was working strictly with audio. And then once I crossed over into film, the visual element came into it. And so, you know, before tackling that visual element, working with just audio and doing stories with just audio really taught me a lot about story structure. And so it just kind of felt natural when the visual thing came into it. And, you know, I just felt kind of a little bit more prepared than some of my other fellow classmates in terms of, you know, storytelling.
How else has Navajo culture impacted your work?
Well, the documentary that I'm doing now, Weaving Worlds, the one that we'll be playing at South by Southwest, I would say probably about 80% of the film is in Navajo. We have two Anglo characters, and one of the Anglo characters speaks Navajo for a good portion of the film, because he was a Navajo trader that lived, you know, in one of the communities there. And so I think it's really helped make the film unique, in that I did a test screening here in Austin recently. The Austin Film Society did have a program called Docs in Progress, where you screen a documentary work in progress and you get feedback from other filmmakers. And that was one of the things that really struck some of the filmmakers that were there. They said, you know, I think one thing that makes this film really interesting is the language. I mean, there's this intimacy that you get with the Navajo weavers that are talking in Navajo, and it's an intimacy that otherwise wouldn't be there if they were speaking English. And so, I mean, they felt that it really drew them more into the story, and they felt like they were getting the privilege to see and hear and listen to this person that they otherwise, you know, wouldn't know what they were saying. And so I really think there's a real, you know, intimate power there. And I think that's what's going to make my film stand out from all of the other films that are going to be showing at South by Southwest.
You seem to be a pretty good example for young Native Americans that are interested in becoming media makers. What advice do you have for an aspiring Native American kid out there trying to do the same thing?
It's really hard. You have to be prepared for just an emotional roller coaster, because it's so competitive. Especially the field of filmmaking, I mean, there's so many people that go into it, you know, because film is such a universal thing, but it's also, you know, a really hard language to try and understand. And it's not, filmmaking is not something that you can ever master. I mean, there's always going to be something that you don't know and something that you have to learn in order to get to your next film. And I think that's why I like doing what I do, because I always feel challenged and I always feel like I can learn something new out of this. As far as advice for other filmmakers, I mean, just be prepared for disappointment. Be prepared to work really hard. And just be prepared to face a lot of stiff competition. You know, I mean, you get your moments where you have your film premiere and, you know, you get to travel with your film to different cities to show it. I mean, that's the fun part. And that, I would say, like, that fun part only lasts about a year. But, you know, in order to get to that fun part, I mean, we've been slaving to make this film for the past 5 years. And, you know, we're just now starting to see the reward. And so it's not an easy path to choose, but if you can muster the energy and the enthusiasm and the passion, it's also really rewarding once you get the hardship and once you get past the hardship and all the hard work. And I would also really tell people to read a lot.
Right.
The most important skill that you can have in this field is good writing. That is so crucial. I mean, whether you're writing a grant or whether you're writing a script or whether you're writing a press release, I mean, good writing is just essential in everything you do if you want to go into media.
What's some writing that's been inspirational for you?
One of my favorite books that I always go back to is To Kill a Mockingbird, and that's also one of my favorite films that I always go back to. Because you really get to see, I mean, you really get to see and feel, you know, the heart of some of those people. And also, what I really like, too, is there is a Navajo biography. It's an old book called Son of Old Man Hat, and it traces this Navajo man's life from when he was a little boy all the way to his death. I mean, the way it's written is very much the style that Navajos speak in, you know, in literature and in storytelling in the Western tradition, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. But there's also the Navajo storytelling style where you kind of talk in a roundabout fashion. It's almost like you start talking from the beginning, and then you go in a complete circle, and then you end up where you started again, and then you move on from there, and then you complete another circle. And so by talking in a roundabout fashion, that's what I mean. And I thought that novel did a really good job of capturing that way of speaking. Now, I struggle with that. I mean, that's something that I struggle with in my filmmaking, because in the traditional three-act structure, you know, and one comment I always get when I submit my scripts to other filmmakers is, you're really having problems with three-act structure. And then my conflict always is, but that's not where I come from. And I know that my biggest struggle is kind of trying to mesh those two ways of storytelling. And that's probably always going to be my problem to deal with as a filmmaker. I'm inspired by To Kill a Mockingbird, which is very much in the linear style of storytelling, and I'm inspired by The Son of Old Man Hat, which is kind of a more traditional way of telling stories, Navajo way. And so my challenge then is to be able to mesh those two and figure out how to make that structure work for me and so that other people can understand, you know, what it is that I'm trying to say and what the story is that I'm trying to tell.
When you're finished with the project, how do you define a successful one?
If the story is there, and if the audience really sympathizes with the characters in the story, and I would defer back to my previous answer about, you know, trying to mesh those two very different ways of storytelling. If I can arrive at a place where I feel like I've meshed those two styles of storytelling successfully, then I think that's a good project.
And what film of yours do you think does that the best?
Oh, gosh. I don't have that many films.
Yeah.
I really can't take credit for The Return of Navajo Boy because I was not in a creative position. I was acting primarily as a co-producer.
Okay.
And so I don't want to speak to that and, you know, discredit the director.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The only other films I've done have been, you know, dramatic short films where it's not necessarily a documentary, but, you know, they're fictional narratives where you have a fictional script and you have to, you know, cast actors to fill those parts. And I've only done two of those. This is my first real, you know, film, A Weaving World, that is, you know, not a short film. And so I don't think I can answer your question. I really don't have that many films that I can speak to. But I will say that figuring out the story structure for Weaving Worlds has been a real struggle, and I haven't been able to watch it in front of an audience yet, but I think I can answer that question in maybe about a year. Like, I'll see how things go with it.
We'll see how things work out for it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add with Weaving Worlds or anything else that you've been working on?
Right now, I'm working on two feature scripts. One is kind of a family comedy drama called Relocation. And the other is a political thriller about casino gambling on reservations. That one is called The Great Gambler. But one is more developed than the other. But, you know, just kind of on down the road, those are the two things that I'm working on. And I'm also wanting to develop a project about the controversy over the Columbus Day Parade in Denver, Colorado. It's a huge, it's interesting to me because you have this American Indian movement community that's very passionate about their opposition to Columbus Day. And then on the other side, you have the Italian community. It's very much for Columbus Day because it's a part of their heritage. And it's just an interesting dynamic because both sides are advocating for their side. One is advocating against Columbus Day, and one is very much advocating for it. And neither side is willing to back down. And this has been a controversy, you know, for years and years and years and years. And this coming August is the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the Columbus Day Parade. And both sides, I mean, I went out there and shot some footage last year just to kind of get an idea because I knew down the road that was something that I wanted to do. I mean, both sides are really gearing up. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to expect, but that's the excitement of documentary is that you just go in and shoot and, you know, something could happen unexpectedly and you're there to capture it. And when you do capture something unexpected like that, you're capturing something very real. And so I'm really excited. I don't know how the fundraising aspect of it is going to go for that, but hopefully, you know, we can have enough money raised so that we can start shooting that this year. And so those are kind of three projects that I have on the back burner.
Thanks a lot for your time, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much, Zach. Be well.
Benny is the producer of the new film Weaving Worlds. I spoke with Benny in early February 2007. Weaving Worlds will make its world premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival, which will take place from March 9th through the 17th.